In the Parshas Vayetze is a short section which in the eyes of most people is dwarfed by the story of Yaakov Avinu's stay by Lavan and the birth of the Shvatim. Yet this minor section has a message in it which is becoming increasingly pertinent to us today, and I'd like to discuss that for the next few minutes. At the end of the parasha, Lavan comes running after Yaakov, who escapes from Lavan's house with his wives and children and possessions. Lavan challenges Yaakov, right? Lavan challenges Yaakov that he stole the trophim and searches through all of Yaakov's tents and possessions and doesn't find them. Yaakov Avinu, in response, asks Lavan how he had the chutzpah to come and challenge him for stealing from Lavan. For 20 years he did everything he could in order to serve Lavan the best way he possibly could. He took care of Lavan's sheep with Mesiris Nefesh, Lavan's possessions. For Lavan he did it, and even though Lavan did everything he could to try to deceive him, Yaakov Avinu said that he still served Lavan with his full heart, and Hashem protected him. And now Lavan comes and says that you're stealing from me, you took away my trophim. So Lavan, Lavan was not alone at the time. Says that he brought with him his family and friends to run after Yaakov and to show them all how Yaakov is really deceiving him, how Yaakov is the thief. At this point, when Lavan didn't find anything, it could have been a terrible public relations fiasco, where Lavan is going to turn out to be the one who's the thief after all, and the one that is making up claims against Yaakov. Well, it's not for nothing that we're used to calling Lavan Haramai, the conniver, the deceiver, as a play on words for his real name, Lavan Harami, Lavan from Aram, which is Syria, in modern-day geography. And Lavan replied in a manner of terrible chutzpah. The Ksava Kabbalah presents a beautiful interpretation of the psukim showing exactly how Lavan replied to Yaakov Avinu's challenge. Lavan said to Yaakov, "Habonos benosai, the daughters that I have, those are my daughters. Vabonim bonai, and the sons that you have, they're my sons. Vatsan soni, and the sheep that you have are my sheep." Lavan said to Yaakov, "You're telling me that you did me a favor, that you served me well? Well, everything that you have is all mine. You came to me empty-handed. You didn't have any wives. You took my children as your wives, and now you're running away with them. You didn't have any money. You didn't have any possessions. You didn't have any children. Now you have a whole family, and you're running away with an entire retinue of possessions. You have a large flock of sheep. You have tremendous power and money, and that all came from my house. You came empty-handed, and everything that you have is all mine. I'm the one that should be upset. You're the one that took advantage of me. You're the one that played around, that kept changing the conditions of our contract until you ended up with all my possessions. I'm the one that should be angry. Why are you angry?" But the Ksava Kabbalah continues, Lavan said that, "What could I do to you today? I promised God already the other night, last night, that I'm not going to harm you. I'm not going to do anything to you. And therefore, I can't do anything, even though you deserve to be punished for all that. Instead, I'm willing to forget all of the past. You know what? Let's make a peace treaty. I'm willing to say that from now on, we'll start afresh, and we'll be at peace with each other. Let's make a bris, nichas a bris, aniva atav ahoyer le'ed b'ni v'necha. Let's make a treaty between the two of us." Sure enough, Yaakov Avinu agreed, perhaps because of Chilul Hashem, in front of all these friends of Lavan that are watching. He didn't refuse to make a peace treaty with Lavan, but he made the bris. And afterwards, Lavan went on his way. But as the Ksava Kabbalah points out, the Sefer HaYashar explains that the next day, as soon as he left Yaakov Avinu, Lavan sent a message to Esav saying, guess who's coming your way? Maybe you want to prepare a surprise greeting party for him? As we find in the beginning of the Yishlach, Esav came to greet Yaakov with his 400 warriors. That was Lavan's follow-up to the bris that he made with Yaakov. But Yaakov Avinu didn't profit all that much from this bris. If anything, it cost him and his children, his descendants, dearly. As we will see, the Megala Amukos, in his amazing sefer, the Reishnun Vavafanim on Pashat Hazinu, points out in Ofim 66 that the symbol of the treaty between Yaakov and Lavan, which was what Lavan called Yigar Saladusa in Aramaic, and Yaakov Avinu called Gal Eid, the Hebrew translation of Yigar Saladusa, was more than a simple pile of stones that they set up between them. Lavan was symbolizing to Yaakov Avinu that after Yigar meaning 213, Yud Gimel Reish, the Gematria 213 years after the Bayis Sheni would be rebuilt, the second base of Mikdash was built, Antiochus came and made decrees against the Jewish religion and sacrificed a behemoth Tmeya on the altar of the base of Mikdash. It was exactly 213 years after the building of Bayis Sheni. And that's what Lavan was saying to Yaakov Avinu, Yigar Saladusa. These 213 years will be testimony that eventually Bnei Yisrael will be overcome, and the Beis HaMikdash of Bnei Yisrael would be overcome. Why, though, was Lavan hinting that to Yaakov, of all things and of all times, in this parsha? What does that have anything to do with the end of Parshas Vayetze? This is not the only remez for the story of Chanukah in the end of Parshas Vayetze and in the words Yigar Saladusa, or the stone pile that they made. Rabbeinu Brachye, Rishon, Talmud of the Rashba, points out that although they Lavan made a gal, a pile of stones, with Yaakov, really the name gal was short for the true name that he wanted to call it, which was Gal Gal. And that's why it says Vayasu Gal, Vayochlusham ala Gal. It says twice Gal in order to point out that the real intention was Gal Gal and not just Gal. Gal Gal, which could mean the spheres, the orbiting spheres of the planets and the sun from our perspective, is a hint to Gal Galacham, a hint to the Avodah Zarah that Lavan and his friends worshipped, which was heliolatry, serving the sun. And because that was his god, he built a gal, hinting to Gal Gal. That's what Rabbeinu Bachye says. And from that perspective, we see another hint to the story of Antiochus, because Gal Gal is Begematria 66, which is exactly equal to the Gematria of Yovan. But what, again, does the Nes of Chanukah have to do with this stage in the life of Yaakov Avinu? Well, the first and the most obvious thing that comes to mind is the fact that this was a prelude to Yaakov Avinu's meeting with his brother Esav after so many years. Esav came not to greet him with love, but with an army of 400 men in order to overcome Yaakov Avinu and to take from him everything he had. Obviously, we know that Ma'aseh Simon Labanim and this symbol of Esav coming to greet Yaakov was a symbol of the Roman destruction of Bayis Sheni and Golus Romi, which we are still experiencing until today. The Golus in which Bnei Yisrael became subservient to Rome, which was led by Bnei Esav, according to Chazal. That's what Esav's attack of Yaakov Avinu and his return to Eretz Yisrael is symbolizing. That's the Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim, like the Rishonim, the Rambanim, and other Rishonim explain. The prelude to Golas Romi is Golas Yavan. As Ibn Ezra in Toldos and the Ramban and Balad point out, really Golas Romi is just an outgrowth of Golas Yavan. The actual people that popularized Rome were basically a Greek population, meaning that the main themes of the Roman life were all patterned after Greek life, and the Greeks developed into the Romans. They say that Yavon was the father of many children in Parshas Noach, and one of them was Kittim. Kittim was the founding father of Rome, and Yavon was the founding father, meaning the other children of Yavon were the founding fathers of Greece. So Rome is an outgrowth of Greece, and if so, the prelude to Esav coming is a hint to Malchus Yavon. That's the simple understanding of what this Yigas Adusa has to do with this stage in Yaakov Avinu's life, as far as the symbolism of Maisei Avosim and Labanim. However, there's a much deeper meaning to this that has to do with the actual words Yigas Adusa in the Torah. Chazal say in the Medrash, I'll say Lashon Parsi, Lashon Yiv, Lashon Arami, Kala Beinecha. Don't look at the language of Aramit with disregard, because that language is actually presented and written explicitly in the Torah. Where? In the words Yigar Sa'adusa. The Torah copies that language down. Meaning the words Yigar Sa'adusa aren't just a simple recording of a name. They're giving an importance. They're attaching a certain perspective of chashivut, of high regard to the language itself, of Lavan, to the foreign language. They're trying to put the foreign language, to some extent, on a par with Lashon HaKodesh, the language of the Torah. That's what the Medrash says about Lashon Arami, based on the words Yigar Sa'adusa. What this means is that Lavan was not just trying to make a peace treaty with Yaakov Avinu. He was trying to connive. He was trying to apply his treachery at a level that was the most painful to Klal Yisrael. Not only to try to deceive people into thinking that all of our money is his, all of our people are his, but to try to make it look as though even our Torah is his. To try to get a grasp, a foothold in our very Torah, as if to say, here, I also have a part in the Torah. Habonus b'nosai, it's so and so ni. The Torah also, that's mine. That's something that I have a part in also as much as my Israel. And that's the deepest treachery that Lavan applies to Klal Yisrael. That hurts the most. And this is exactly what Yavan tried to do. Yavan tried to tell Bnei Israel, you and I, we're all the same. So you're wise, you're chachamim. We're also chachamim. Yavan is known for their wisdom, for the outstanding intellects, for the elders of Athens, who were famous for being the wisest men on earth. Don't think the Torah is so unique. We're also wise men in the same way that you are. And that's why the Greek king was the one that tried to translate the Torah into Greek. At first, the Bnei Israel tried the Septuagint to have 70 Zakenim translate the Torah into his language, into Greek. That is what the Yavanim were trying to do. They're trying to say, the Torah is equally ours and yours. We could also relate to the Torah like you can. We also have a portion of the Torah. We can make that Yavanis, our language. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma. The only Chachma is Yiras Hashem, the Chachma of the Torah, which is more than just wisdom, more than just knowledge. It brings to a person Yiras Hashem. It brings a person closer to understanding of Hashem, and to wish to follow the ways of Hashem. That is the Yiras Hashem of the Torah, and He Chachma, that's the only Chachma. Chazal say, Hein, B'lashon Yevamis, Achas. In Greek, specifically in Greek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasizes that the Torah is unique to Bnei Israel. The Torah is the only Chachma. The Greek Chachma doesn't compare to the Chachma of the Torah. Torah, it says, Chachma B'gayim Tamin. There could be wisdom among the nations, but Chachma B'gayim, do not believe that there's any Torah among the nations that's unique and it's high above any other Chachma. And this fact that Torah, the Chachma of Bnei Yisrael, is way above any Chachma of the Goyim, is symbolized by Shemen, by the Pach Shemen that the Jews found after Yavin was defeated. Because I'll say that Shemen hints to the Bnei Yisrael compared to Shemen, because just like Shemen rises above all other liquids and does not mix with them, so to Bnei Yisrael does not mix with any other nation. Bnei Yisrael rises above all the other nations. Bnei Yisrael stays by itself and can't be mixed. That is the Pach HaShemen that they found in Hanukkah, and that is the Nes that the Chashma Noam brought forth with their Mesiris Nefesh, not to be mitbolel, against Hellenism, against the Greek culture. That's what we celebrate in Hanukkah. And I believe that is Yaakov Avinu's response to Lavan. No, this is not Yigar Sahadusa. This is Gal Eid. Gal Eid, which literally means the pile is witness, is testimony, also hints to the Medrash, to the Gemara and Shabbos that says about the lighting of the menorah. It says, Eidos hi leboi olam shehashchina shara b'Yisrael. The most open testimony that a Kodesh Baruch Hu provided to all the nations of the world about the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael was symbolized by the lighting of the menorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the menorah's light lit, the Ner Maravi lit, from one day to the next, to show the light that rested among Klal Yisrael, symbolizing the Shechina that rested among Klal Yisrael. Gal Eid, Gal, Yiloshim Galui, meaning revealed, Eid, meaning testimony, an open testimony. The menorah will provide open testimony that we're not Yigarsa Adusa, we're not on the same level, on par with Aramaic, with Greek, with other nations. No. Gal A, there'll be open testimony, Sheshchina Shara B'Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is unique among all the other nations. And that is what Yaakov Avinu responded to Lavan's challenge. May it be the will of Hashem that we will strengthen ourselves in our Amunah, in our realization that Klal Yisrael is unique and their Torah is unique. And that no other Chochmah and no other nation can possibly challenge the Torah. They can try to deceive, they can try to fool people slyly and say that we have our Chochmah also, and your Chochmah of the Torah is not unique, and that your promises of the Torah promises you are not unique. They could try to forge their own Torah, but it's not going to help. Klal Yisrael will stand out among all the other nations, and will be revealed to the whole world that Klal Yisrael is unique. And may we also be zocha to see the beauty and the uniqueness of the Torah. Gal einenu v'nabit niflos mitorasecha. Thank you and good Shabbos.